The final Saturday of spring. Summer begins early next week, and it already feels like summer in these parts. Tech Talk is underway. Doug Swindhart is in. If you're having a problem with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call or text the program. Here's our number again, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for joining us today, and big news from Microsoft. What's going on?
Oh, they've been busy stirring the pot for the last week and a half. The first they announced that individual users of Defender will now have to download an app, and it's no longer free. And people went wild. And characteristically of Microsoft, when people started contacting me, they said, no, that's not really what it meant. If you got a 365 subscription, you should be good. But then later on, they changed their mind and they said, no, this is just for people who use Windows Defender that don't have Microsoft Windows. So apparently it's going to continue to be free for if you are running Windows. I don't know anybody else that would run Windows Defender, but at any rate, that got their news just popping. And then they claim that they are retiring 100% Internet Explorer is now finally dead. And I'm waiting to see if you can no longer find it in Windows 10 and 11. It should be interesting. I don't know why they do that, but they had the whole world in an uproar for about 48 hours.
Yeah, and Edge is the current browser. For instance, my computer at work, ironically, one site that I go to order from a particular courier won't work in Google Chrome for whatever reason, so it works fine in Edge. So I keep that courier when I need to order a courier up in Edge, and it works just fine. It's a fine browser. It is not my browser of choice, but for this purpose, it works great.
That vendor, I'm wondering if that would actually run with Firefox or a different browser as well.
Yeah, it probably does, but because Edge is on board on my laptop and I've got a couple other, I just open it in that, and it's readily available, and then I do all my other stuff in Chrome.
Absolutely. You know, and this websites like this, when they're programmed, you know, as many standards that have been put into place over the past three decades, there's still some variables. So whatever that vendor that you're working with, whatever they recommend for a browser, I would highly suggest that's what you use. So that's a very interesting part of what we deal with on the Internet.
And by the way, it's Doug, it's Tech Talk, 651-461-9226 on this summer Saturday, 651-461-9226. Now, we brought up Windows Defender, we've talked about it before. It generally, in a new release, it's done a good job, but it's not what you prefer. That there are better ways to protect your Windows machine.
Oh, I think so, too. Many of the advertisers and many of the online authors that do stories on this, they have their own little favorites, and they'll talk about Avast and Bitdefender and AVG, and I'm still real impartial to Malwarebytes for external, Avira, if you buy the Avira. The free ones are getting less and less common because it's an issue, and you really should have one. But I'm real impartial to Malwarebytes. I just like these folks. I like the way they do business, and they have very little problems as long as they stay on top of it and people aren't doing goofy things. But if you're a good user and you pay attention to what comes in your email and don't just willy-nilly open everything, you should be just fine.
All right. Let's go to the text line. We've already got some folks weighing in there, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. This is interesting, and I've always wondered about this. We all know about smartphone-to-smartphone texting, very commonplace. Some people will only communicate via text or are easiest to get a hold of via text. But can you send someone a text, for instance, from a laptop? Is there some sort of service you can get where you can send someone a text from your computer? I'm not aware of it, but maybe you are, Doug.
This used to be available in Gmail. and I think it's still there. They kind of have lost it for a while, then it came back. I think it's going to be back in again. I'll have to do some research and figure out how to do that, but I'm sure that you can. I'll do some research and have a lot more next time we're on air for you.
Yeah, and we'll look into that as well, and I think sometimes it would be handy because, for instance, you're at work, you're on your laptop or whatever, you know, you can grab your phone and send a text, but it sure would be handy to be able to send people on a mobile device a text from your laptop. So that is an interesting question, and who knows, maybe someone will send us a text on the program today and tell us how it's done, but I'm not familiar with it. Let's see here. Have you heard of a forever battery being developed for EV cars? But I would think beyond that, not only electric vehicles, but any device that uses a battery. I have not heard of this. I read a lot. I read a lot about this stuff. I have not heard about that.
These blue diamond batteries that they're coming out with. And every country at this point, if you're watching YouTube, and this is just in the last couple of days, they're all claiming that they've got these almost forever batteries. And I think they're going to be expensive, but they're going to be a game changer. And China just announced that they've got now they're really, really tiny. They scare me a little bit because, you know, from time to time with a laptop or a notebook, we got to take the battery out and completely drain these things. Well, if they start soldering them on the motherboards, we're not going to be able to do that. We're going to gain some places, but I just want to make sure, I hope that they continue to keep batteries so they are replaceable and we can get to them and disconnect them if necessary.
Well, and Doug, the thing about battery technology, and when you read about wind power or solar power and all of these sorts of things, the one advantage is that fossil fuels, whether it's coal or oil or natural gas or whatever, it's almost instant power when you need it, that the energy is stored and you can fire it up and go. For instance, if you have a generator sitting in the garage, you put some gas in it, you fire it up, you've got power. Wind and solar aren't that way, but as you pointed out, using the term game changer, if they are able to build batteries that are able to store this power when it is like on a sunny, windy day like today, think of all the power you could generate with windmills and solar panels, and then overnight or on a rainy day, and it's not very windy, you can use that power. So the ability to generate power from renewable resources is one thing, but being able to store that power and use it when you need it is another, and that's where batteries come in. And getting that range for an electric vehicle where you're able to, say, for instance, drive 300 or 400 miles without worry and then quickly recharge like you would fueling an automobile right now and putting gasoline or diesel in it. We recently made a trip to visit the in-laws in Sioux Falls, and I was thinking about that. Well, if we had an electric car, this would be the outer limit of range, almost door-to-door, 300 miles. Not quite, but then driving around in town. But when you get there, well, do you have to charge it overnight? Does it take hours? That's the thing that needs to change with battery technology.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And the thing is with the storage thing, and just solar, I've been watching that pretty close. The cost of solar has reduced over 70% in the last 5 years. Now they're talking about paybacks in a five-year range. And the equipment is actually getting much, much better. Now, if you add storage to this, this is going to be huge. And when we stop and consider the price of gas, I think electric cars are going to just absolutely take off. And Germany has just come out with a new nuclear reactor that's whisper safe and whisper clean. And I think that they're talking about making small units for the homes. So I think the technology is right around the corner to help us all. But this is to have enough power and electricity and to have it affordable. That's just, I can't think of a better gift from the heavens.
Yeah, and let's get back to computers and the focus of the show and smart devices. You know, batteries have gotten a lot better, but nevertheless, they fail. And I told this story a few weeks ago on the program. I had a laptop. It's a little bit older, but was working just fine. But then I ran into a problem with the battery, and the battery started to swell. And that's relatively common as well. So it isn't foolproof technology, and as you pointed out, they need to be swapped out. A guy I work with happens to be my boss. You know, his battery swelled to the point where it almost destroyed his computer.
Yeah. I've actually had a couple of MacBook Pros where the battery, they talk about them exploding. They don't actually explode like a bomb, but I've had them actually take the monitor when they were closed. They swell that big, and they bend the frames. And yeah, if you start to notice that with a laptop, especially the thin ones, you got to get that in for service right away. It could be hours before it just pops, and they pop. That's, I think, indicative of the lithium. We don't see it often. I've seen maybe three computers do this in my time repairing. But when it happens, it can take a whole machine, no doubt.
Yeah. Quick break. We'll come back. We did get an answer on texting from your computer. I've never used it. It's called the Text Free app. So there you go. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I actually did a Google, and I saw one here that came back as recent as May 20th. 8 ways to send text from your computer. And I'm going to review that a little bit more, too, during the break.
Yeah, and like I say, I haven't done it. I've thought about it, but, you know, generally my phone is so handy, I just grab the phone and send the text. 220, quick break, Tech Talk continues. Here's the number if you want to call, 651-461-9226, and you'll visit with Carrie Klatt, who is our producer, and she'll put you through, or you can text right into the studio at 651-461-9226 here on News Talk, E3LWCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindehart is joining us. If you have a problem with your computer, hardware, or software, whatever, feel free to call the program or text us, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226 is the number. And let's go to the phone lines. Hopefully Lawrence is still there. Lawrence, you're on the air with Doug.
Hey, I'm here. Thank you. Doug, you talked about the fourth generation nuclear reactor, and if that takes off over here in North America, that is a great thing. The reason I'm calling is, Doug, I'm going to hang up and listen. If you've been following it, any of the proposed legislation coming out of Congress, primarily focused on big tech, which, you know, my bias is I think it's overboard. I'd really like to hear your thoughts. So thanks, guys. Good program. Always good to hear from you.
All right. Very good, Lawrence.
I'd like to know more about that. I think he's talking about something I'm not aware of. I know that there's some movements happening. What I've been really watching is the larger companies and how they are combining in the background. I don't know if that's what he's referring to, but there's finally, I think we're going to see some legislation come down the pike here.
Well, and I think when it comes to social media and big tech, you know, they have a tremendous amount of influence. And really the question is should it be regulated? Who's going to regulate it? How is it going to be regulated? Because there's all this talk about some social media platforms, they're saying, well, they're limiting free speech. But they are ultimately private enterprises, and do they have the right to limit that? And that's where it gets, where and when does the government get involved in instances like social media and tech? But once again, these tech companies have tremendous influence. You look at the size of Facebook, or what is it now, Meta, or Google. We talked about Microsoft at the top and how big they are. I mean, these are gigantic corporations that have a tremendous influence, and our society now, modern society, relies heavily on these companies.
Well, and you know, the whole thought of the internet was to keep it free, to keep it open. And there's there's a real balancing act to be done here. And way above my pay grade, Steve.
Yeah, for sure.
I just can't begin to fathom where that balance is. You don't want to stifle people. At the same time, you don't want 5 million people screaming fire in a closed theater. And big tech especially, I agree. I think what you have to do is somehow, when it comes to big tech, whatever they're saying or whatever they're promoting, it must be transparent and they must be held accountable. You can't say, well, we can do this and this and this and this, and then later say, oh, that's just sales fluff. That's just the way it is. You know, it's all right. We didn't really tell you the truth. Read your contract. That's 800 pages. I think that needs to be dealt with as well. But as far as the freedom of speech thing, that's going to be an ongoing thing. I think it'll outlive all of us, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that debate will go in perpetuity on who regulates, who decides what's acceptable, who decides what's not acceptable. But then beyond that, and I think Facebook has been maybe the lightning rod, now Meta, and how they use people's data and the privacy associated with it. And I think that's something, and we've talked about it for years on the program. In a lot of ways, all of this stuff is still the Wild West. We still haven't sorted out what's right, what's fair, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. I mean, that's still all happening on the fly.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to be the decider?
Yeah, that is exactly right. Who's going to be the arbiter of what's right and what's wrong? 229 here. Let's get into browsers real quick from our text line. Are the browsers that advertise that they don't follow your searches, are those okay to use? People might be referring to DuckDuckGo. There's a big push that, you know, what you do online is none of our business, to borrow a line from a DuckDuckGo ad. Are they okay to use? What do you think about these particular and I think people are getting browsers and search engines confused, but help us sort that out real quick.
Oh, absolutely. You really need to be using multiple search engines, just like you need to use multiple browsers. Now, the flip side to this, Google is a prime example. I think that they might go too far with how they distribute our information. But as far as an advantage for a user, just in my example, if I sit down at a computer and I log into my Gmail account, and I use that particular browser to run a Google search, and I start doing something technical, this thing has down pat what my language skills are, what my educational skills are, and it just feeds me the exact information I need, usually in the first three or four results that I'm searching for. So there are some serious advantages to actually letting the artificial intelligence, if you will, take control. Flip side. And this is the part that bothers me. If I drive into a parking lot and I'm going to go to the grocery store, and there happens to be, I hate to use the term McDonald's, but if I drive by a McDonald's and all of a sudden on my smartphone wants to know how my meal was at McDonald's,
that's
not good. They're spreading that information all over. I don't care for that. Or if I happen to run a search for a new mattress, well, 5 months after I've got a new mattress purchased, I'm still getting tons of email spam trying to sell me a mattress. I don't care for that either. There's got to be a way to shut it off or turn it down or tone it down somehow. There again, there's things that are just completely out of whack. Start out good, and by motivating for dollars or whatever, they've become almost corrupt.
Yeah. It is a gigantic issue for sure. But once again, browsers, we talked about those. Search engines like DuckDuckGo, perfectly safe. You know, you're not going to run into any problems with those.
Oh no, goodness no. Yeah, DuckDuckGo is a great search engine, and it's growing by leaps and bounds now, especially with the privacy thing. I think that the majority of searches that you run on DuckDuckGo will give you ample information, and DuckDuckGo is set up in such a way to where already my DuckDuckGo account is already starting to keep track of what I do and how I do it, and it's reacting almost the same way and still keeping my data private. I like that.
All right, quick break. We've got to get the weather in. We'll be back with Tech Talk with Doug Swindehart today. Here's his number, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226 here on a Saturday. News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tech Talk with Doug. It is a breezy Saturday, final Saturday of spring. Officially, longest day of the year coming up, and then summer begins, and the heat's going to settle in. We'll have more on that a little bit later on in the show and talk more about that. Back to the 50s weekend. And if you want to talk computers right now, Doug's the man, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Here's one. Recently, I had a Windows 10 update. Privacy settings were all turned on or open. Have you heard of that?
Yes, that's really unique, though, that they were all on. I would think that I'd be looking for that computer. I'd be checking for malware or some type of script or some type of an automatic program that went in and did a lot of things that it shouldn't. That should not happen.
Yeah, and Doug, it's one of those when you do, what is your stance on updates at the moment on Windows 10? Take them all or take what you need? I mean, that, for a novice user, someone who's not super familiar, that can get really confusing on what updates to take.
It can. I always suggest to people that you take the security updates, be real cautious with driver updates that are coming from Microsoft. And feature updates, it's kind of a toss-up. I really don't do too much with feature updates as well. Well, but then at the same time, Windows 10 just came out with their update 4 days ago, and it actually addressed 60 security vulnerabilities. 60.
Whoa.
So those security updates, those were very, very important. I think that people need to be aware of what a security update is, a feature update, and just the actual optionals for the drivers. My computer now, where I got Windows 10 on, it's told me I've needed drivers for the past year and a half, and it's running fine. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. Don't confuse your computer if you don't need to. That's just my opinion.
What about some of the older operating systems? Where do we stand at the moment on those? Do people need to be concerned, say, they still have Windows 8 or even Windows 7? What are your thoughts there?
I think both of the Windows 7 has really become to, a point of really being vulnerable. At the same time, if you're smart enough to where you've got a user profile and an admin profile, and you go in and you don't have it on the network at all, internal, and you shut off client for Microsoft and shut off file and print sharing, and it's a basic user profile, you're safe. You're good to go. And the same thing applies with updates in Windows 8, and still Vista's still hanging out. Security updates only. Just don't get too carried away. I think that a lot of times that the updates will confuse the operating system, sometimes even more than malware. So it's a good thing to be conscious of, and if you're going to do a little learning about computers, that's a perfect place to start.
Tech Talk with Doug, the number again, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. This has been a hot topic as of late. I maybe got it started, but 5G home internet, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, it seems like T-Mobile is maybe the heaviest promoter of this. We continue to hear good things about it. If it's available in your neighborhood, that is a big if. You have to check on it. But Doug, all the reports I'm hearing, this stuff really works.
You know, the internet that you get on your 5G phone, it's phenomenally fast. I mean, it's really good. It's just rock solid stable. I think it's if you've got a 5G phone and you can consistently have 5G running on that phone and you got plenty of bars, I think you can have it from any provider at this point. This is going to be big, going to be huge. And I know for sure that Xfinity is concerned with this and CenturyLink is concerned with this. If it wasn't a big deal, they wouldn't be concerned.
And now once again, you get an appliance. I would assume you got to plug it into the wall and then it receives 5G cellular signals and converts that into Wi-Fi to run your smart TV or your laptop or whatever you want to use internet for in your home. So it is very interesting, but we have been talking about it now for weeks on the program, and we continue to get good reports where it's available. Now, in my neighborhood, it is not available. I've checked all the big carriers, and not yet. And I'm not going to hold my breath at this point in time, and it's not like I'm in a spot where I need it. But it could become a very good option, and so far, very affordable.
Yeah, you know, I've got to admit, Steve, that I thought that 5G was being released way early. I've completely changed my stance on this. This is, they've rolled this out, and it's running. It's working. And I think it's much better coverage than I had anticipated, at least for my phone. I can't seem to hardly go anywhere where my phone isn't saying 5G. And everything's just cruising right along. Yeah, I'm impressed. I'm very impressed.
All right, quick break. We'll come back with more here on Tech Talk. We've got problems with a Logitech webcam. We'll get into that. An iPhone that has a screen continues to freeze up. And if you spill water on your laptop, now what? We'll get into all of that with Doug here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Tech Talk, Doug Swindehart. Saturday is 2 to 3 when our sports schedules permit. I will be off next Saturday. Alan Horton sitting in between 2 and the start of the Twins coverage at 5:30. Doug will have next Saturday off as well. So enjoy the day off next Saturday, Doug. I'm going to take next Saturday off. I think Kerry Klatt will be here, our producer. But hey, Doug, let's get back to our text line. Let's start with if you spill water on your laptop, what do you do? Is it repairable?
Should be. It really depends on where it got to, how long you... First thing, don't turn it on until you got it dried out for sure. Shut it off, unplug it, take the battery out. Sometimes if you can get them apart, that's absolutely the best, and make sure they're dry. A lot of phones, you know, you can actually put into a bag of rice and leave for several days. If it's a small computer, you could probably do that on a laptop or a 12-inch or something like that. You should be okay unless it gets damaged. I've seen where water has hit a couple of Macs and they're gone. I've seen Macs that I had one Mac I dropped in a pool, brought it over, and I dried it out, fired it up. It seemed to be just fine, ran for years.
Dropped it in a pool.
Dropped it right in the pool. The whole thing was completely drenched. And I looked at my You know, I said, I don't have much hope for this. But, you know, the next day I called him and said, come pick it up. It seemed to be running. I don't know how long it's going to last, but got it all dried out and rock and roll. So it's not as serious as you think it might be. I think almost depends on if you had it turned on or not. I don't know what all the criteria is.
Well, and that's why I am such a fan of, you know, the Chromebook. You can still get a nice Chromebook for between $200 and $300. Pretty nice display, nice keyboard. I mean, it's not a top-of-the-line display. But here's the thing. If it gets damaged, you're out $300, not $2,000 for the top-of-the-line MacBook Pro or, you know, some of these Windows machines. You can drop a lot of money as well on these. That's what I like about the Chromebook model is you don't have a lot of your hard-earned money tied up in this hardware.
Well, and you know, today, people really shouldn't be with just one machine. A Chromebook makes a wonderful backup computer. And I think that for children under, I don't know, what would you say, 12, 13, that absolutely, get them something inexpensive. Just until they can become responsible and maybe have to pay their own or whatever you got to do. But these are great computers for not big dollars. I just can't say enough good things about a Chromebook. I just can't.
And I think that's why they use them so much in schools.
Absolutely.
My wife works for a large public school district, and Chromebooks are the norm. Now, there are some iPads in circulation, et cetera. Speaking of iPads, can iPads get virus? Can they become infected?
Well, anything can, but most of the time with a Mac and a Linux machine, it has to be a script that's run. They're not near as vulnerable as a Windows machine that is just readily accessible by an .exe file or something of that nature. They're much, much safer than an actual Windows environment. And that's been the norm for many, many years. But there's nothing that is completely 100% secure, zero-day secure. It just doesn't exist.
And then the webcam. What would cause my Logitech webcam from not working on my Windows 7 machine? It says the drivers are updated, just can't get it to work.
Oh, that's bizarre. I've seen where sometimes with Windows 7, and especially the earlier versions of 7, and you think, well, yeah, we've got 7, and you kept us up to date, but there are still different builds, that sometimes the plug-and-play will actually add more drivers than needed. It will multiply drivers, which changes the IRQs. Best thing that I would suggest is to get in this thing and completely delete everything and reinstall it. And if you know a little bit about your control panel, and you go under System and look in the drivers, if you got a driver problem, there's going to be like a red X or a yellow exclamation mark, a yellow circle with an exclamation mark, indicating that there's a driver problem, either possibly an IRQ, an interrupt request, or possibly a different memory status. But if that thing, plug and play sometimes just took control and it just kept recreating another device when it shouldn't have. And with the Logitech, if you're having some difficulty with a Logitech, I would also be looking to see if just by plugging it into a different USB port might work. There are times that it tries to install the device every time you change USB ports. That's very common with anything that uses a USB. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and USB, it's amazing. With all the USB, I like a wired mouse, I do, but that gobbles up a USB port. So generally in my bag, I have one of those USB expanders, and that's pretty cool. And
it's got a little push
button on it, and, you know, depending on what you need to plug in or operate or charge a phone or whatever, having one of those little expanders, and they are cheap, and they work.
I think everybody should have one. I got one from Amazon. I paid $14 for it. It charges things. It automatically sets itself to the right current. It's got little plugs on each one of the ports where I can turn it on and turn it off.
Yep.
They're just indispensable.
Yeah, just a handy, handy little gadget for sure. Hey, Doug, we've got to run. We're just about out of time. The hour flew by. We're both going to be off next Saturday. The Twins play Colorado. Alan Horton's going to be sitting in next Saturday between 2 and Twins time. Doug, what's your phone number and email?
Thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin at WCCOTech.com. Admin, A-D-M-I-N, at WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. Enjoy your time off, Steve.
Yeah, you as well, Doug. We'll talk to you down the road for sure.
You bet.
All right, there he is, Doug Swindehart, joining us on Tech Talk. We have all the news. We have all the weather coming up at 3 o'clock. And then we're going to talk about the warm weather a little bit. HVAC in the spotlight. Our friends from K&S Heating and Air Conditioning are going to join us. How do you stay cool? Coming up.